On Tech News Today, Apple's building a car. Apple's also building 5 million Apple Watches, and Apple's latest product placement is so huge that the TV show is actually placed inside the product. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, February 17th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 46 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off image subscription packages on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TNT215. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 50-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news of the journalists who report it. I'm Mike Elgin, your host today, and After Nine's content czar, Joe Panettiere, is our co-anchor. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Mike. How you been?
I've been really great. We just had a big 3-day weekend. We had a lot of fun. We ate a lot of food. It was Valentine's weekend. And we had a great time. How about you? Did you get the Monday off?
Got the Monday off. And even though we're a startup, we're purposely taking holidays off. That way, next year and the year after, when it's a holiday, our year-over-year comparisons are easy to figure out, rather than me working all the holidays and the next year, for some reason, our traffic dips, so to speak.
Isn't getting control of your whole personal life a big part of why you launched this company in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, people call it work-life balance. We call it life-work balance. You put the life first, and hopefully you build something that people really value. So we're having a lot of fun at it. Had a great weekend. Went skiing with the family up in central New York, and now I'm back at the home office on Long Island.
Awesome. Well, why don't we jump into the news? We're here. Might as well. All right. Well, several hundred Apple employees are reportedly working on an electric minivan, according to a report Friday in the Wall Street Journal. The news, based on anonymous sources, joins a chorus of prediction, rumor, speculation, and wishful thinking around Apple's future plans for what some are calling the iCar. Will Oremus is a senior technology writer at Slate.com, and he joins us now to talk about the Apple iCar. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing great, Mike.
Now, Apple's project is codenamed Titan. Who's in charge of this project, and how long has Apple been working on it?
So this team of several hundred employees that the Wall Street Journal reported about is under the direction of Steve Zdesky, who used to be a Ford Motor Company engineer. That's part of what's fueling the rumors here. The idea is that Apple wouldn't put this many people on a project this big unless it was building something as big as a car. But we don't have proof that Apple's building a car. It's something that's like so fun to think about that we don't even want to admit that it might not be true. Maybe it is true, but we really don't know it yet. And if it happens, it'll probably be years in the future. The rumor is that it would be like a self-driving electric car. The Wall Street Journal says, again, quoting anonymous sources, might look a little minivan-like. It's a fun idea. The next iPhone will be on wheels, and you'll park it in your garage, and it'll cost God knows how much. But we really don't know for sure yet.
Hey, Will, what about the range of possibilities here? You mentioned it could be the full-blown car, it could be a minivan, but could it be as little as just sort of Apple tinkering here and trying to figure out what a car could consume in terms of their technology, like basically experimenting with dashboards, et cetera?
Yeah. So what Apple's already doing is they're working on a platform called CarPlay. And this is basically iOS for the car. So it turns your dashboard into a touch screen that looks a lot like the home screen of your iPhone or your iPad. So maybe they're just trying to imagine, maybe they're imagining all the possibilities for what the future of an interior of a self-driving car could look like. Earlier this year at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, cars were all over the place. I mean, it's clear that cars are the new computing platform in a lot of ways. Apple could be doing lots of things without building a car from the ground up. Mercedes had a concept car at CES that was a self-driving car, and the interior, you know, there was no, there was none of the usual stuff that you have in a car. There weren't the sort of five forward-facing seats. It was more like a little mobile conference room with screens all over the place, touch screens everywhere. Every passenger has their own screen that they can use. Apple might just be experimenting for, you know, what is Apple's role in a future where you spend a lot of the time in a car that's basically a rolling computer. Or it could be tinkering and seeing what would it take for us to build our own self-driving car. Maybe it just wants to scare Google and Tesla a little bit. Maybe it would acquire a company down the road. Maybe it's just experimenting because it has so much cash to burn and it you know, needs to do something with all that money.
Now, it seems like this is the kind of thing that Apple wouldn't do. I mean, Apple makes computers, they make phones and tablets. But getting into the car industry is something way outside of Apple's area of expertise. That's one view. Another view is that this is exactly right in the middle of what Apple tends to do. For example, Steve Jobs always dreamed of building an Apple car or building a car, whether it's with Apple or without Apple. We learned that with the recent biography. And also, Apple specializes in finding user interface experiences that are horrible and then making them wonderful. That's why they got into the phone business. I myself was highly doubtful that Apple would succeed right off the bat with a smartphone simply because I thought, well, this is way outside of Apple's area of expertise. And of course, they reinvented the industry. Car is really, if you think about it, a user experience. I mean, you look at even some car companies these days, many of the best car companies are looking at the whole experience of driving as a user experience problem to be solved. I recall years ago reading about the Mazda Miata, which where they spent most of their engineering time with the gear shift, making it feel in terms of how it rumbled when you shifted gears, and also sound like they had specific classic roadsters in mind when they designed it. I mean, it's exactly like designing a user interface for a computer or something like that. So is this a possibility that Apple is just like full-fledged going to become an automaker? I mean, we also learned recently that Apple has some, well, actually I wrote this in a column recently, that Apple has so much cash on hand that they could literally buy every U.S. car maker and have billions left over in change. So it's certainly not outside of their ability in terms of their resources. But how likely does this sound to you that Apple is just going to be fully become a big car company?
You know, you're right. I mean, it's one of those things that sounds so outlandish that your temptation as sort of a skeptical journalist is to say, well, come on, you know, that's not realistic. You know, it's fun to dream about. But the reality is Apple has so much money that there's almost no way to get our head around how much money Apple has. You know, every time they report earnings, there's like a little cottage industry of business and tech blogs around the web that try to come up with new visualizations for just how much money Apple has. It's unfathomable. They could buy Tesla, which is, you know, a company that's $25 billion market cap. You know, they could pay double, they could pay triple for Tesla if they wanted to. How realistic is it? It's really hard to say. I mean, Apple is so secretive. These leaks that are coming out, the fact that there are so many leaks suggests there's really something going on here, because they are a company that does a great job of keeping the small stuff under wraps. They have projects that they're working on for a long time without anybody knowing about it. I think it, you know, the fact that multiple sources, you also had the Financial Times reporting on Apple's automotive ambitions. The fact that multiple sources are reporting on it suggests there really is something big enough going on here that Apple can't hide it. Either that, or Apple's leaking this for some strategic reason, because they want people to think that they're a threat in the automotive industry. I do think Apple, you know, is one of the few companies that has the potential to really reimagine what a car could be like. Tesla has done it in a lot of ways already. You know, if you get inside a Model S, it's a very different experience from the way cars have felt for the past 30, 50, 70 years. I think there's a sense in both the auto industry and the tech industry that we're going through maybe the next decade or two, a period of revolutionary change in the auto industry. I think Apple wants to be a part of that. The other thing that's fun to think about is, you know, Google obviously has been working on a self-driving car for years. Now, it's focusing mainly on the self-driving technology, which is a really sort of, you know, it's a machine learning problem. It's a core tech problem. Google is very unlikely to get into full-scale manufacturing, because Google has realized that's just not what they're good at. Apple does large-scale manufacturing, but it does it so far on products that have a really high margin. I mean, the iPhone, the margins, the profit margins are incredible. In cars, that's not the case. I mean, there's just so much raw material material, so much so much labor that goes into the production of cars on a mass scale, it would be tough, not impossible, but tough for Apple to realize those same kind of margins. But it's fun to think about Apple building its own car, its own enclosed ecosystem in the auto like it does with the phone, and then Google out there maybe licensing its software, self-driving tech to other car companies and being the Android of the automotive technology realm. It's fun to think about.
Hey, Will, let's drive home that point you just raised about margins. I think you struck on a really important point there. Now, I was doing some research. I think car profit margins are typically in the 10 to 15% range, and that's at the high end. At the low end, car profit margins are at the 3% range. On the one hand, that's going to spook Apple investors who look at that and say, wait a minute, we're making 70% or nearly 70% margins on iPhone 6. But, you know, to play devil's advocate, there are no margins in the PC industry, yet Apple makes great margins on Macs because they innovate there. And same thing in the phone market. You know, most phones don't have much margin at all, yet Apple is able to do it. So I think it gets back to your point about Apple somehow reimagining the car industry. Is that the key point here?
Yeah, I think Apple would have to do that to make it worthwhile. And again, I think if I had to take a guess, I would say that if Apple is building a car, it's going to do it. It's going to build one car, one model, the way Tesla did when it started out. Tesla built the Roadster as proof of concept. Then it was like, okay, we've proved the concept. Let's build one that we can actually sell. It built the Model S. And now that the Model S is selling so well, it's working on its next generation. But you don't just build a full-scale automotive manufacturing operation overnight. But I think, you know, I think Apple, you know, like Tesla, has the potential to build luxury cars that, you know, because they're different from what else is out there, because they have sort of a unique brand, maybe they do have greater margins than others in the automotive industry. I mean, you look at the American automakers, Ford has pretty low margins, and it's doing the best of the U.S. automakers. But when you look abroad, I mean, companies like Mercedes, you know, if you're at that luxury end of the spectrum, your margins are much greater. You don't have to sell nearly as many units. There's an aura that comes with your brand. You know, you can be thinking about how to really optimize the experience and not thinking about how do we build, you know, the most cars for the masses and build the best-selling cars. So that would be where Apple would want to go. Again, I think we're a long way off from seeing Apple becoming a car company, in terms of a full-scale mass production operation. But I wouldn't rule out Apple giving it a try and doing what Tesla did and just seeing how it goes.
Will Oremus is at Slate.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Will Oremus. Thanks for joining us today, Will.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we've got some more news for you in just a sec, but first let's talk about Shutterstock.com. You know, I've been a big user and a big fan of Shutterstock.com for a long time because I'm a blogger. I do a lot of blogging. I love to blog, and it's become very clear in the last few years that if you want to blog, you really have to be extremely visual or nobody's going to really notice you. I've noticed a little trick that I do on Google Plus where if you do a really eye-catching photo, even if you're talking about some pretty obscure or some kind of, very general kind of topic, if you have an arresting visual image, there are lots and lots of people who may not even speak English that well who will plus one your post because they like the picture. That will get you into the What's Hot list. And then the people who will appreciate it will be able to see it there. Shutterstock is the place to get those kinds of images. I mean, these are fantastic images, videos, you name it. And of course, they have really flexible pricing. They add 300,000 images every single week. If you searched last week, search again, because they're going to have new images that are really, really fantastic. No credit card needed. Just start an account and begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like and save favorite images to a lightbox to review later. I love that feature. Once you decide to purchase, use offer code TNT215 and new accounts will receive 20% off image subscription packages. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 20% off image subscription packages on new accounts, use offer code TNT215. The Moscow-based security software maker Kaspersky Lab has made two gigantic and recent discoveries. The first is that they claim evidence that the NSA has been hiding spy software on hard drives made by Western Digital, Seagate, Toshiba, and others. The secret spyware enabled the NSA to spy on most of the world's computers. Joe Panettiere, this is the most alarming and extreme thing. I mean, the first thing, you know, I ain't even mad. This is amazing that they can do this, that put this secret spyware that hasn't been detected in all these years. And of course, they've Kaspersky has found this software on PCs in 30 countries. They're zeroing in on, you know, the who's who of U.S. rivals, including Iran, Russia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, China, Mali, Syria, Yemen, and Algeria. And it's really astonishing that they've been able to do this. What did you make of this? And how did this, you know, I guess one of the questions is, how did this escape the notice of all the downloads from the Edward Snowden revelations? Or was this in there somewhere? I'm not really clear on that particular point.
I'm not clear on that point, but the one point I am clear on is the fact that Kaspersky Lab always seems to be ahead of the curve here when there's something big going on when it comes to spyware and malware and infrastructure security. You did mention that they're based in Moscow primarily, but they do have deep U.S. roots at this point as well, Kaspersky Lab, that is. And if you really check in with their CEO, Eugene Kaspersky, he's been on the front line probably the last 3 or 4 years talking about this development of a secure operating system for financial services, transportation, and energy. So, you know, you can see where Kaspersky is going here. On the one hand, they're somehow able to stay ahead of the curve on reporting these issues. And then number two, it's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're going to come out with an operating system here to help protect vertical markets against these threats.
The good news is that a lot of companies and countries around the world are avoiding U.S. products because they're afraid of the NSA. And so I guess it's kind of good news that, NSA is also getting on the Japanese hard drive makers as well. Is that good news? It doesn't sound like good news. But
No, it does not sound like good news.
Being a non-U.S. company will not protect you. Well, the other big news, of course, is that their second big bombshell is the discovery of a multinational gang of criminals that has stolen nearly $1 billion from as many as 100 banks and other financial institutions around the world over the past 2 years. Kaspersky calls the gang Carbonac, and its members are reportedly located in Europe, Russia, and China. Joe Panettiere, another huge score for Kaspersky.
Yeah.
And what a gang of crooks. These criminals are almost as competent as the NSA.
Yeah, you know, and they seem to be hit and run crooks. So they're not going in and stealing $100 million or $500 million at a time. They're hitting the accounts and taking about $10 million or less seems to be their trip up point. And by the time the banks realize it, the crooks are gone.
I love the way that they discovered this. Apparently, money would spontaneously start spitting out of ATMs around Europe. And then, you know, somebody come up and scoop it up. Of course, you would expect that. There's money on the sidewalk. Somebody's going to pick it up. But when they looked into it, they just started pulling the thread out of that sweater, and they discovered this huge ring where basically what they were doing was they were using these spear phishing attacks to gain access, among other things, the video feeds of the banks. They would literally watch the video of the bank employees when they did what and how they did it and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then they would use that information to sort of slip in little thefts of money without it being really noticed. Because it fit into the schedule of the bank. Very amazing. Right. And nearly $1 billion, lots of people working for many years and just now discovered. This is one of the biggest bank heists ever. And the normal general approach you use to rob a bank, this isn't a how-to segment, by the way, is that you figure out a way to get the money out of the bank and then you steal it. This organization was stealing from the bank. Like, that's something you just generally don't usually do. It's very hard to do, and they seem to have pulled it off and got away with it until now. Still, I'm not aware of any arrests in this. I don't think they know who it was, but I'm sure that Interpol and others are looking into that.
Yeah, nor have you seen the banks step forward and say, hey, we were part of this heist. So you've got 100 banks involved, $1 billion involved. It's almost like a long tail hack where the hackers just keep moving from bank to bank to bank and doing the lift job before it becomes publicly noticed.
Absolutely. Well, in other news, Apple has been granted a U.S. patent for a virtual reality headset. The headset would work like Google Cardboard or the Samsung Gear VR headset that Jason has, in that it needs a smartphone placed inside to provide the screen, sound, internet connection, and the apps. Apple filed the patent application. You know, if you want to call them a copycat, it may not be the case. Apple filed the patent application 7 years ago. and it was just granted. Apple has other patents related to augmented reality and head tracking technology. You know, I hate to say it, Joe. You know, I get accused sometimes of being an Apple fanboy. Sometimes I get accused of being an Apple hater. Yeah, sure. And no, this isn't a product placement, unfortunately. But the you know, Apple's in a really unique position to succeed with this because, unlike Samsung, they basically have two phones, right? They have two sizes right. that need to be accommodated in any sort of virtual reality headset. And in the case of Apple, if they were to manufacture a product, they could easily just have two versions, one for the iPhone 6 and one for the 6 Plus, or iPhone 7 or 7 Plus, whatever, whenever it is they get around to doing this. Unlike Samsung, which, you know, their virtual reality headset works with just one of their many phones. And so, you know, the number of people who have, you know, the compatible phone for the Samsung is dwarfed by the number of people who would have the compatible device for the Apple product. And so it's really something that I would expect them to do, especially since, you know, of course, the number one gaming platform is the iOS operating system.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike, speaking of that, I've got three sons and they are on iOS games all day. So I could see come holiday time, my kids asking for something like this. And Mike, to your point, this ongoing integration with iPhone, you know, we've got Apple Watch coming out soon. And of course, it's integrated with iPhone. And now there's rumors of the car. You almost wonder if Apple launches a car, do you need to be an iPhone user to even start the thing?
Exactly. And of course, they'll have an 18-karat gold-plated version for $1 million. All right, we have some product updates for you. Microsoft today is updating its Office for iOS to support Apple's iCloud. Microsoft also announced today that it's opening up its Office Online to third-party cloud services. That means you'll be able to open, view, and edit Office Online documents stored on the cloud services that choose to support Office Online. Who is this company called Microsoft? I don't recognize them. They're really getting into the cross-platform thing.
Yeah, they're the Beyond Windows company, and it's refreshing. You know, I think it's really clear that Microsoft wants to make sure that their software is accessible from any device on any network. And that means, hey, it doesn't have to be a Windows-oriented device to get there. So it's refreshing. You know, just when you start to wonder, well, will they go back to their old Windows ways? They don't. They double down on this open approach.
Now what they need is a time machine so they can go back 7 years and do this very type of thing so that they can succeed with it. Just saying. The smartwatch maker Pebble has tweaked its Pebble OS 2.3 operating system to accept Android Wear notifications. Users will even be able to reply to some messages as they would with an Android Wear watch. This is Joe Panettiere, another brilliant way to succeed by supporting a rival. I think this is brilliant because now, of course, people can, you know, take advantage of all the third party app development that takes place for Android Wear on a Pebble. And I think that currently, until the Apple Watch comes out, I think that, you know, the biggest rival to Pebble is, of course, Android Wear. And so this is a really good idea, I think. And it's great that they're doing this.
It's a good idea. And, you know, for me, as I watch the wearable market unfold and or develop, I always look first at the software rather than the hardware. I'm always interested in the software development kits like Apple Watch Kit, et cetera. And it's good to see Pebble making some moves here in terms of this continued type of integration.
I totally agree with that. That's a great point. In other smartwatch news, LG introduced Sunday a new Android Wear smartwatch to compete against the Apple Watch. It's called the LG Watch Urbane. The watch is essentially a G-Watch R, but with an all-metal casing with both silver and gold options. I don't think they have real silver or real gold, but we don't know that for sure. Apple hasn't announced pricing or availability, and I expect, Joe, that LG will be giving a lot more details about this at Mobile World Congress in a couple of weeks. This is a good-looking watch. If you look at it, you'd never know that it was a smartwatch. It doesn't look like one of these geeky things, or it doesn't look plasticky. It looks like a regular watch. But of course, that is a screen, and of course, it's round, as some of the most successful smartwatches are.
Looks pretty sexy. You got the silver and gold options. I'll wait for the platinum. We'll see.
That's right, and it also is a little bit ruggedized. It's not fully ruggedized, but it's more rugged than average, I guess. In mergers and acquisitions, the Indian IT outsourcing company Infosys announced yesterday that it would buy New Jersey-based automation technology company Panaya for $200 million. Infosys CEO Vishal Sikka said that the buy will help amplify the potential of employees and free them from the drudgery of repetitive tasks to focus on their clients' more strategic challenges. Joe, I thought that's what outsourcing companies were for.
Yes, outsourcers, offshore companies. Yeah. Anyone who puts out a release that talks about freeing you from drudgery, I've got to check it out and look a little more closely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got some big numbers for you today. 5 million. That's at least how many Apple Watches the company has ordered for manufacturing during this quarter in preparation for the product's April release, according to an exclusive report in the Wall Street Journal. The initial run could also be as high as 6 million. According to the report, about one half of the units ordered will be Apple's entry-level $349 Apple Watch, and about one third will be the Apple Watch Sport, which is supposed to be a little bit more expensive than that. And the remainder will be the 18-karat gold Apple Watch Edition, which is expected to cost several thousand dollars. All right, another related big number, 1 million. That's the number of Apple Watch Edition units that the same Wall Street Journal report says Apple is planning to produce each month after the initial run. The journal's sources say Apple expects high demand in China, where the 18-karat gold watch will be seen as a coveted status symbol. Joe Panettiere, let's just put this into context, shall we? This 18-karat gold watch is expected to cost $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000. And Apple plans to make 1 million of them per month. Now, in the 6 months or so that the Android Wear watch, which I think is more or less the leading brand, it's one of the biggest brands. In the 6 months that the Android Wear watch existed, they sold a total of 700 and something thousand. So right. Apple's planning to ship each month more gold-plated Apple Watches than all companies of all the Android Wear watches combined for half the year of 2014.
Yeah, you really wonder who's running the numbers within Apple and who's really trying to get a feel for market demand before this thing launches. And it's almost like they're betting so heavily, and you wonder if they're going to wind up with a whole bunch of inventory and some sort of fire sale. Now, I'm not predicting this turns into like the Amazon Fire phone where suddenly it's free because nobody wants it. But on the other hand, Apple's really ramping up production here in a huge way.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I think a high price is actually likely to boost its appeal in a lot of markets, including China. All right, another big number, 100 million. That's how many dollars Cisco plans to invest in French startups. Working with the French government, Cisco intends to help train 200,000 people, fund academic research, and improve network security in France. It sounds like they have a deal with the government, and they are going to boost startups in France in exchange for probably some big lucrative contracts, but I'm just guessing there. Maybe they're just doing that out of the goodness of their hearts. Another big number, 5.7. This is shocking, folks. Let's let this one sink in after I tell you about it. 5.7 is the percentage growth in dumb flip phone sales in Japan. That's growth, right? That's a total of some 10.58 million flip phones sold in the country last year. Now, let's compare that to another big number, 5.3. That's the percentage decline in smartphones sold in Japan last year. Only 27.7 million smartphones were sold in the country last year, the second straight year of decline. Joe, nothing makes sense anymore. In Japan, this high-tech hub, smartphones are on the decline, and dumb flip phones are on the rise. What's going on?
Well, you wonder if it has something to do with their economy and consumers just not having the cash to go out and get that smartphone upgrade and or the first time purchase with a smartphone. And part two is where's the value? You know, I'm sure the consumers there are looking for that killer app and maybe they just haven't found it.
Yeah, or there's just people are fed up with all the features and they want a phone that makes calls, that's easy, that's light and small. And, you know, maybe people are just fed up or maybe they're just using tablets instead. Who knows? All right. In news you can lose, the ABC TV series Modern Family has executed what is probably the world's most extreme product placement. An upcoming episode of Modern Family called Connection Lost takes place on the screen of an Apple MacBook. The product isn't placed in the show. The show is placed in the product. During the episode, the character Claire Dunphy, played by Julie Bowen, is waiting for a flight at an airport and using her MacBook. And while sitting there, she interacts with members of her family on various Mac apps and websites, including iMessage, FaceTime, and Facebook. Apple reportedly didn't even pay for the placement, but did supply all the hardware and also a a shiny new Mac Pro for post-production work. This is madness. Now, Modern Family is famous for its colossal iPad product placement, where a huge part of one episode was all about Claire Dunphy's husband in the series, fondling and stroking his iPad when the iPad first came out. And they were heavily criticized for that. So it's a little surprising that they're going all in on this sort of Uber product placement.
Yeah, and I'm a little concerned too, because as my extended family watches this episode, they're going to start asking me, well, how can we do this? And my answer is going to be, oh, that's Hollywood. You can't do that.
Right, you can't. There's no such thing as FaceTime. It's fictional. Right? All right, we got some wrap-up data for you. But first, let's talk about ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring people, you want to hire the best people. You don't want to hire the second best person. You want to hire the very best people you can, and ZipRecruiter will help you do it. You can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, and all with a single click. And, of course, this solves the biggest problem with hiring people, because they are all over the Internet, and this will put you all over the Internet instantly with a single click. And with ZipRecruiter's premium traffic boost, you can get up to 3 times more candidates. You want to check out Traffic Boost. Very, very powerful feature. You can quickly screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Just find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by more than 200,000 happy businesses. Right now, our viewers and listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. Plus, get 30% off your first traffic boost by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TNT, and we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of Tech News Today. Our TNT fan of the day is Michael Longpre Boisvert in Longueuil, Quebec, who posted this picture on Facebook. He says that every 2 days he watches 2 episodes of Tech News Today back to back while having his lunch. And there is Joe Panettiere on that screen. There, look at that. And look at that pasta. Wow. Very nice. How do you watch or listen to TNT? Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook, or anywhere, really. We'll find it, no matter where it is. Just use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT, and we love to see your pictures of how you enjoy the show. Joe Panettiere, thank you so much for co-anchoring today. What the heck is going on at After Nines?
Oh, here's an update for you. If you visit afternines.com/CEO, you can check out our latest podcast. It features AppDirect co-CEO Daniel Sachs. Now, Daniel discusses how his company just raised $50 million to help businesses build online malls that are filled with apps. But what's really interesting about the conversation, Mike, is Daniel also talks about his 5 core business values for startups. So if you're an entrepreneur out there and you're trying to figure out how to hire the right people and retain them and really build your company, Daniel gives some great tips. So check it out. That's over at afternines.com/CEO.
Wonderful. And thank you so much for co-anchoring today, Joe. We'll see you next week.
All right, Mike. Thanks again.
All right. You can subscribe to Tech News Today on iTunes, and please leave a review and let us know how you like the show, and choose your favorite way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. You can also watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv. or on the app or browser plugin of your choice. If you're ever in Sonoma County in California, come on in and watch us live. You can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV. And if you're a Tech News fan, and of course you are, of course you're a Tech News fan, come hang out with us in our Google Plus community. Just search Google Plus for Tech News Today and you'll find the community. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Instagram.com/MikeElgan with one E. That's MikeElgan. And please send us your thoughts and opinions by email to tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. Don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight, and every weeknight right here on the Twit Network. My name is Mike Elgan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.